United States against Yarbrough.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Morris Berman. I represent Rico Yarbrough, and I represented him in the district court. He was sentenced to over 19 years in prison for his crack cocaine distribution conviction. And we've raised the issue that this sentence, although a within-guidelines sentence, should, as this court did in Cunningham, be remanded. We raised several issues before the district court, but the one I want to, along with the 100-to-1 ratio and criminal history, but the one I want to focus my remarks here on is the fact that Mr. Yarbrough, before sentencing, cooperated with law enforcement, engaged in a proffer and a debriefing with them. That's undisputed. The government, for whatever reason, and it's not really articulated in the at the sentencing hearing, the government decided they didn't need it, said it wasn't useful, and did not file a 5K1.1 motion. The point, though, is that this factor, a factor of recognized ground of legal merit, was not mentioned at all by the district court in reciting the reasons why she was imposing the over 19-year sentence on Mr. Yarbrough.
How do you read the last part of Rita, which says the district courts don't have to traipse through all the factors?
I revert to this court's opinion in Cunningham.
Let's answer the question I asked. How do you read the last part of Rita, which says that district courts don't have to traipse through all the factors? As between Cunningham in 2005 and Rita in 2007 from the Supreme Court, we don't have any problem figuring out which one we follow. So let's talk about Rita.
Well, I think that you have to have a record before
Look,
this
I'm
court
asking
make
a question about how one reads the actual language that the Supreme Court used. Now, I would welcome a discussion from you about what the Supreme Court said in Rita.
Well, what I would respond that if this presumption is truly to be reviable,
counsel, look,
as the court
there are
said,
two questions in Rita. One had to do with the presumption. The other had to do with the adequacy of the district court's explanation. I'm asking about the second part of Rita.
Well, it's simply it's our position that this was not an adequate explanation.
No, look, if you want to have any chance of winning here, you have to discuss what the Supreme Court said about this in Rita. I'm inviting you to do so.
And my response is that if this is, that the court said that, but this is a this is a factor bearing on sentencing which the court simply didn't discuss, and that it serves as a basis for remanding the sentence.
Well, what factor is missing that would be dispositive in your favor, your client's favor?
Well, the fact that his cooperation bears on 3553E factors and 3553 factors. It bears on how severe a sentence is necessary. It bears on whether or not he has accepted responsibility beyond that necessary to receive the three-level reduction.
You got that, right?
We got the three-level reduction.
So obviously the court took it into consideration, at least to that extent.
No, that's not obvious, because the court didn't say anything about it. But the court said about his three-level reduction for acceptance is you've accepted responsibility by pleading guilty. And he didn't have to go beyond admitting his conduct and beyond accepting responsibility in order to receive that three-level. But he did. He did. But what he did beyond that was simply not explored by the district court. It was completely passed over. And it's our position that even if the judge could, on remand, impose the same sentence, that's not really the issue here. The issue here is whether a sufficient record was made for the sentence that she did impose.
Pardon me, I didn't hear what you said.
Whether an adequate record was made for the sentence she did impose, because she did pass over this ground of legal merit.
Were you the attorney of record?
In the district court, yes, I was, Your Honor.
Did Did you ask the court to explain more at the time of sentencing?
I did not, and in retrospect, I wish I had. But in looking at, again,
is
in Cunningham...
Is that the judge's... Should the judge read your mind?
Shouldn't read my mind. On the other hand, this court also noted that I don't need to take an exception. I made my argument, the judge rules at a certain point.
But you didn't ask him anything about why he didn't cover it adequately at the time?
I did not. The government said it wasn't useful, and then there was really no focus, no remarking on it at all by the district court. But I don't think that's a forfeiture of the argument. I don't think that under either the rules or this court's panel opinion in Cunningham is quite clear. I don't think I have to take an exception. Wish I had, but I don't think that alters the outcome that this sentence ought to be remanded. Unless the court has any further questions, I'll save my time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Berman. Mr. Yarosh.
Peter Yarosh for the United States, Your Honor. The district court in this case addressed Mr. Yarborough's arguments in favor of leniency. It considered and articulated the 3553A factors and then also made a balancing on unchallenged guidelines that the low end, the bottom, was an appropriate sentence, and specifically articulated that it was appropriate to hold the defendant accountable for his serious criminal conduct, that it would protect the community, and that it was needed and appropriate for a proportionate sentence with others similarly situated. The district court articulated that the defendant had a large amount of drugs that he was dealing, that the defendant refused opportunities for counseling and treatment on prior occasions, that he had a impressive, I guess is one word, criminal history that showed that he had a high likelihood of recidivism, and that indeed he had prior drug dealing. All of these factors were balanced by the court in addition to the arguments for leniency in order to come up with the appropriate sentence. Rita requires nothing more. The court articulated reasons, it considered the arguments of both counsel, and as a result, this court should affirm the judgment and conviction of the district court. Unless the panel has any questions of me, I have nothing further to add. Mm-hmm. I might simply add that I think that Rita takes care of issue number one. The presumption obviously is correctly applied.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Berman?
Only that I do not think that the court's opinion in Rita undercuts what this court said in Cunningham. And in fact, in the Rita opinion, the court did emphasize that the statement of reasons is important and that the sentencing judge should set forth enough to satisfy the appellate court that he, in this case she, has considered the party's arguments and has a reasoned basis for exercising his own legal decision-making authority. Where a defendant or prosecutor presents non-frivolous reasons for imposing a different sentence, however, the judge will normally go further and explain why he has rejected those arguments. This is a case where the arguments, which do have legal merit, were simply not mentioned. They should have been considered by the district court to be given whatever weight Judge Crabb deemed them to be worthy of. Again, the sentence could be the same. It might not be. But the fact here is that the fact that she did not consider that principal argument at all warrants the remand. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. And Mr. Berman, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case. The case is taken under advisement.